Support this podcast at patreon.com/rednews.
Okay, lads, so we're in Villarreal. We've had quite a trip via Valencia, and now Paul's joined us. Paul, do you like Villarreal?
Yeah, been a lovely day.
Weather's been cracking.
Weather's been superb, belting atmosphere. We've all had a drink. And we've got the game in 45 minutes.
Hopefully we'll be there. Hopefully we'll be there.
45 minutes. We're just debating whether to bother, really.
Okay, has anyone seen the team? Come on, has anyone seen the team? What do we think of Carrick's first choice of the team?
What a great question, because... Oh, Shane's here now. Hey, Shane, you're on now.
So Shane's on.
Talking about the team, Shane. At least he's got Sancho in. At least Donny van der Beek starting. What do you reckon, Shane? He's got McTominay.
Is that a good idea or not?
Are we seriously going to talk about football? Are we?
Yeah. Just briefly.
So my main thing to say about football is I think it's good that van der Beek starts.
Yeah.
He deserves that. And probably the only one who come out of any... Well, I think Sancho needs game time, doesn't he? He's young, he's got to settle in. My only thing I'm dreading a little bit about tonight is you obviously, you know, you travel across Europe, you want to see your team win, you always want to see United win. But I actually think, in some ways, it would be more insulting if the same players that down tools, which they clearly did, put in a shit
that's
today.
The problem now.
It's going to be... I kind of think I might resent that tonight. And I've got mixed feelings about... I don't know how we'll react to that.
No,
obviously,
you're right.
I've said the same thing to these guys. If we come out tonight and win 3-0, then the question is, how the hell has this happened? You know, these guys must have down tools under Solskjaer. You know, they can't come out tonight and win 3-0.
So. Yeah, but the flip side of that is if they lose 3-0, was Ollie right?
Then the other thing is Carrick in his selection. You know, if I was selecting that team today, you can't pick the same team that he's been selecting for the last month or 2 months or whatever. So you have got to mix it, and he's done the right thing. Van der Beek's playing, Sancho's playing. You've got to play them guys, and you've got to play them for more than one game. So you've got to play them for the next 2 to 3 games, four, five, six games. You've got to play them.
If you give Pogba, for example, like so much game time. And he doesn't perform, you've got to give Van der Beek the same chance.
Like, of course you have. You know, so who's he dropped tonight? Bruno's gone. This is going to be controversial.
Been rested. That is controversial.
I would have dropped Ronaldo and put the main man in there.
Cavani.
Yeah, he's injured.
Is he injured?
Yeah. Well, he's not feeling up to it, is he?
I tell you what, even with a wooden leg, he'd do better than
I can tell you what, I'm not feeling up to it either, but I'm here.
I think we'll get beat tonight. I think we'll get beat.
Is he injured?
Again, he's got a bit of a cold again.
Seriously, I didn't know that.
Much more important than team news, however, Riaz, your first European away trip. As a virgin...
Yeah.
How do you feel about all this?
I wish I'd gone away with Shane rather than John and Danny. They're a bunch of cunts.
I'm actually quite glad that Riaz went with John and Danny. I've just moved tables.
No one will have me.
I was on a two table. Can you imagine there's two tables of us and I've just moved from an adult table to the kids' table.
That's exactly what it feels like.
We've been dealing with that all day. Honestly, it's like bringing
your kids
on tour with you. What did Keno say to us in
Keno said to us in Basel?
It was in Basel.
He turned to us, we were shouting, we were in the away end, or to the home end, right by the side of the, where they were presented by the pitch. And Keno turned to us, sorry, he didn't. They come over to us and said, stop singing and shouting, you know, blah blah blah. Keno will be over. And the next day, we bumped into him at the passport, didn't we? Where the passport thing was, where you're winding down to put your bags through. And he turned to us and he went, "Oh God, not you again." And
it's like bringing the kids with you.
And that's exactly what he said.
And that's what it's been like.
And that's what it's been like bringing Riaz, a Euro virgin, and
Unbelievable.
Fucking listen, I'm 53 years old. I'm a doctor. I'm so fucking mature. These lot are fucking arses.
Can you talk up, please?
Speak up. Don't whisper. This is going on.
I'm 53 years old. I'm a doctor. I'm going out with these fucking arseholes. They don't know fucking anything. Honestly.
Stop swearing.
Well, this has got apologies to the
apologies to the BBC audience.
Anna, Sam, I didn't swear. Your daughter, listen to me last.
Point proved. QED there. Yes.
Anyway.
Okay, so let's get news on tonight. Predictions on tonight.
We'll lose 3-0.
Similar to Watford, and I said it against Watford.
Guy was cutting me hair on Saturday morning,
and I said to him, we could win 3-0, we could lose 3-0. And I feel the same way. I feel the same way. I cannot predict this. Can anybody else predict this?
Shane, what do you think?
Can you predict this?
That's the thing about United. Is it could just be. It could. You could equally have 3-0 United, or you could be 3-0 down at half time. You've not got a clue.
That's the total mystery of it.
I'm going to wrap this up. Danny predicted a score based on his useless Super Six results. United are going to win 5-0. How about that?
Anyway, and a thank you to the Spanish police for meaning that I'm stone cold sober, because I've been herding onto a train and frog marched around Villarreal. But anyway.
And thank you to John for making us avoid that police escort. And
Chapman Tours,
and we skipped it and went everywhere else, but without riot police. Well done, John.
Barney, I hope you enjoy this. It's been pretty useless, but good.
Sorry, it's brief, kid. Talk to you later.
Right, hello.
Recording in progress.
Oh, all right. Okay, boss. Right, hello everyone. It's Red News Podcast 131. And apologies, we're a couple of days after the event. But to be honest, I'm glad. It was bad enough trying to rewrite half the mag and just feeling an overriding sense of sadness. There was inevitability. But just sad about it all, how it's all panned out. We had great times, so I don't think we'll forget that. And just an honourable, decent man, you know, brought down. And we know he took us as far as he could, but I'm sure we all just felt like a heavy sigh when the news came through. And then that's been replaced by anger, and I'm almost seething with an anger ever since. So sorry, some of you might not agree. This is going to be a rant, and then I'm going to go to Coggy and Ben, who haven't been on for a while, and then Nathan. But I feel fucking furious at our football club. Many, many reasons. I mean, even in the ineptitude that they're showing now, we all knew, we said after Liverpool, there's an anger that, you know, we were clinking fucking imaginary glasses about 11 weeks ago with Aviva Ronaldo, and how it can all fall apart by a manager who obviously couldn't handle it, to players who've shithoused their way through the last month, to an almost unforgivable, you know, you do that at Watford where you almost do so little that the manager is gone as a consequence. And then you can pop back into it and put in probably your best team performance all Champions League. It's not forgiven, it's not forgotten. You've got to come back for a long, long time to earn, you know, like the Maguires. And I almost feel there's so many notes, but like, I felt an anger that we'd qualified and people were going, well, we've topped the group. Now, I get it. That was the job, and it was a big game last night. But it's almost like Glazerites. We've topped the group. The United of old should be having an attitude. Job done. See you at the quarters, semis, onwards. Like Victor Lindelof said, it felt amazing that we kept a clean sheet. Nothing to be felt proud of. Don't like that attitude. Should be job done. We have got a lot of atonement to make up for. So I felt it's overriding. So we knew after Liverpool that Ollie was spent. We said there's no redemption. So you think that was 5 weeks ago, that a football club that pronounces itself the biggest in the football world should be able to say, right, we've got plans. We've been having this, you know, we've had this for a long time before this, because we've had a plan B, that Ollie's on his way out. So, right, we've got this, and this is what is going to happen. And then I read the statement after Ollie, and it was like, we're going to have a caretaker before the interim, before the permanent. Now, it looks like, from what everyone's hearing, including the lad I know at Old Trafford, that Pochettino is the one they want. If you want Pochettino, and he's eager to come, but not at the end of the season, do it now. Do whatever it takes. Show you're the biggest club in the world. But we're not. We're Glazeritis all the way through. And the mag, I'm going to say it, look, please, I know you're all feeling very gloomy, but please try and support it because, you know, orders haven't been much. We've put our heart and souls to try and explain how we feel. But I read the gossip pages and toe in the water going through what they're doing. And I just thought we're broken. And I have a pessimistic outlook at how broken we are. That I feel, you know, we might have a couple of games where we feel, oh, look, the players are playing again. They sound like Fantasy Island. And then we will have a terrible December because the players aren't up to it when their metal is tested, their shit houses. And I find it, I cannot switch. And I felt like Ollie last night should have been watching that. Fucking angry. You know, you do it now. And I know that Sancho hasn't been playing and there's a lot. Obviously a lot on Ollie. And the saddest thing of all, I thought Coggy might have said it a few weeks ago, that, you know, we talked about structures in other clubs. Brentford probably have a better long-term vision and structure than us. So I hate my United mood feeling like this, that I just get so worked up. Now, there are, from Saturday, from Albert's tears, we had a lovely evening, so many reds. And the fact him, away from the pollution of everywhere, when he went United cheering through the game, I feel emotional talking about it. It made it feel special. But then when I revert back to what our football club has become, and it's not about trophies, but it's about the ownership all the way through, to even to how the caretakers are into him. It didn't even make sense. I'm fuming. So, hello, Coggy. Sorry you've not been on for a while. How are you, mate? His audio's gone. He's so angry his audio's gone. Ben?
Yeah, well, I mean, I don't know what I can add to that. I think, you started off with the sadness was probably the overarching emotion on Sunday. It was inevitable. It was necessary. I think we all agree with that. That, you know, it was 3 weeks too late. But when it finally came, you know, it was sad. I didn't feel any kind of, you know, when the previous two, well, certainly Mourinho, but Gal was a strange one because we just won the FA Cup, but certainly when Mourinho was finally sacked, I think that personally I was overjoyed, really, to be rid of him. With Ollie, I just think it had to happen, but it was, you know, it was just sad, really. We all wanted it to work, you know, as much as he did. But it's been obvious for a long time, if we're honest with ourselves. And I think, whilst I agree with a lot of what you just said, I do think that Ollie got a fair crack at a whip. I think he was given time and he was given money to spend. And ultimately, you know, I don't think he was up to the job. And I think whilst the players have to take a lot of the responsibility, of course they do, ultimately the person at the top in any kind of industry, in any line of work, has to set the tone. And I just don't think he was ultimately doing that. And I think once people start to lose confidence, start to lose faith in what the management are doing, then what you will see is that morale, confidence, and ultimately performance levels will, you know, will dip. And I think that's what we've seen. I think in terms of what happened last night, almost inevitable as well. You see it almost always, don't you, when a manager is sacked at any club, that the players will turn in a performance in the next game. It is infuriating, but that's football. What they're doing in around recruitment is laughable, as you said. I really don't like this interim idea. Just get the, you know, go after the. I'd rather. I'm not going down the Carrick's at the wheel route after one result, but I would rather just keep him there until you get the permanent replacement than bringing somebody in on an interim. I mean, this Valverde, they were talking about, Terry Gibson was on the radio talking about him earlier, and he's obviously got a good track record in Spanish football. He's managed most of the big clubs. He's had quite a degree of success. You know, what happens if he has a good start, which is perfectly plausible, and he's doing well when we get to March, April? You know, does he then get appointed on a permanent? You know, and if he's not the person we want, if he wouldn't have been on the shortlist for a permanent replacement to start with, then this interim thing just doesn't sit with me at all. I totally agree with you. If Pochettino is the man, and I wouldn't be unhappy if he was, then go and get him now. I mean, if it costs 10 million to buy him out of his contract, we've got 80 million, 50 million players sitting on the bench doing nothing. So 10 million to get the right manager to pull it all together would seem like money well spent to me. So that's what they should be doing, in my opinion.
I'm not arguing Ben at all. He had to go. You know, he was spent. We looked naive. A manager that allows the warm up at Watford, and I'll mention it again because it was that embarrassing to watch. That suddenly there was this fuck in hell that was amateurish. But I do not. I understand because I'm usually the always half glass full with United optimism. We're going to win. But I'm almost preparing myself for the pessimism ahead for the festive period and what's to come, because I just think the club is that broken that I do think we'll be here. Unless Pochettino is a miracle worker and somehow everything goes in our way. But it goes, everything is the fault, as I said, everything's the fault of Ollie, and then everything is the fault of everyone as well in that. From the whole thing, you know, we keep saying it, giving him a 3-year contract. The way it just, I'm just really angry that this goes beyond, and I'm very worried. And like, I've got fucking 3 match of the days that stare at me like the Mary Celeste that I can't watch, which are Liverpool, City and now Watford. And they'll probably remain on there until we next fucking win a trophy. But I'm going to keep them and watch them one day. But I have seen the goals. I would say the third at Watford, I would never play Anthony Martial again for the way he lost the ball in the build-up and then didn't move, which pretty much has summed his... If this is him raring to go to win his place back in the first team, his performances the last 2 games. And then the second goal against City, where Maguire and Shaw stood still, this is what concerns me. You know, I know that confidence is a huge factor in football, but suddenly I've got this dawning pessimism that the defence isn't good. This is not, you know, at best it's a top 4 team and we got second because the other teams were switched off. That at best we're a top 4 team and this squad has major issues who Ronaldo keeps having to save. So I'm almost preparing myself. Sorry, Coggy, are you there now?
I think so. Can you hear me?
Yeah, go on, yeah. Go for it, mate. We haven't heard from you for a while.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I try to keep level-headed about it, actually, because I just think it just can fuck up your life, you know, being so happy when we win and so devastated when we lose. And I just heard what Ben said. And, yeah, you know, I was gutted over the weekend for Ollie. You know, he didn't deserve to have the players basically give up on him like they did, you know. And, you know, but footballers continually do this. And as Ben pointed out on the WhatsApp group, you know, half of these players sold, you know, pushed Mourinho under the bus as well. So, you know, perhaps we shouldn't have been surprised that they did explain to Ollie. But having said that, there is obviously something wrong, you know, along the way. Now, whether it's Ollie, whether it's all the coaching staff, whether it's everything, you know, there is something wrong because the players, on the whole, just couldn't give a shit. Not only about working for Ollie, but where's the personal pride? You know, why are we recruiting players that just couldn't give a shit about whether they play well or they don't? And I just find the whole situation bizarre. And, you know, Nick said that, you know, Ben said about, like, you know, he Ollie went because he comes from the top and he sets the tone for everybody else. The problem is it comes from way above Ollie, the likes of Woodward, and they set the tone, and the tone is football secondary. And I think a lot of players think, fuck it, you know, we're still going to get our 150 grand a week. We've signed good contracts. Does it matter whether we win, lose, or bloody draw? And, you know, we're recruiting or signing the wrong type of people.
Well, that's my worry about last night. Maybe I'm being full Christmas Grinch, but when the players, you know, we're coming out with, this is an amazing feeling, we've topped the group. That is all, that for me is a seeping down that qualification, you're nearly at business plan of getting to the quarterfinals. And where I just want a shaven-headed Roy Keane everywhere at United, longing for those days where he's growling at everyone going, you accept those fucking standards at our football club. You accept that as a standard. You should be embarrassed. That group had Villarreal, who, you know, decent, where are they in the Premier League? Fifth or sixth? Where Atalanta? Fifth or sixth? Where are Young Boys? Mid-table? That group. And it shows the shambolic nature of recent seasons that we so often failed to get out of groups like that. You couldn't ask for a better group than that. Sorry, Coggy.
I agree, but we have no leaders. You know, I mean, you know, to a certain extent, I think Ronaldo is, but we haven't got those people on the pitch or at the club that will turn around and have a go at the teammates and bollock them or try to inspire them. You know, we haven't got any. You know, now that could well be because of the type of person Ollie is, and maybe he, because he hasn't got that nasty streak in him. You know, he's allowed players just to, you know, be bloody soft touches. You know, it's just so disheartening. And you know, De Bruyne, apparently De Bruyne did more miles on the pitch against us than anybody else, and he's the most talented player on that pitch, and he runs the most and works the most. And I think, you know, we should be looking at him as the type of player that we want. Not just from a skill point of view, but just for work rate. Pep said after the game, didn't they? Our secret is our work rate.
Sometimes you can overcomplicate things, can't you? And I mean, Robbie Savage said last night on the commentary that we had our best spell of the game when he said it's amazing what can happen when you run around a bit. And I thought it is, isn't it? Really, you know, just by sort of putting a bit of pressure on the opposition, you force mistakes, and like you said, that has got to be the minimum. Without that as a starting point, you're never going to have success, however good your players are. As you say, the best team, City and Liverpool, look how hard they work in comparison to us.
But then
how much of that's innate in the players and how much of that's down to what's happening on the training ground, I'm not sure.
But when Ollie arrived, that was everything that he said we'd be. You know, he said we'd be the one who ran more than any other team. So wear it spectacularly. But almost, sorry, Coggy, I'll go. But when Carrick, and God, he's got 100% win record, but fuck me, I'm so loathe that anyone gets Carrick at the wheel. But he's a nice guy too. So what worries me for this impending December, which is a manic month if the club stew around what they're doing, you know, we're interviewing 50,000 people in one day, is that if you reward Anthony Marshall with a place yesterday, after that shambles on what it worries me. So I'm already worried about this initial period, and I sound like a horrible people will be disagreeing with me. But that, where you said, Coggy, you know, the fighters and what you want to see in that team, from Sancho and Donny, we got it on Saturday. Good, they played again. Why was Anthony Marshall in that side yesterday?
Well, I honestly don't know, apart from maybe Rashford did deserve to be dropped. You know, because again, I think, you know, there was times on Saturday when Rashford looked half bothered as well. So maybe Rashford, in the same way as Fernandes, deserved to be bloody dropped last night. Now, Martial wouldn't be my first choice, but, you know, so I can't really explain that. But do you know something? I think Carrick got it right last night, and not, you know, because you could see that for the first hour it was all about trying to keep a clean sheet, and admittedly De Gea pulled off some great saves, but you know, the midfield and the defence were a bit tighter, you know, the forwards were dropping back to help out the midfield and everything, and then after an hour he brought on Rashford and Bruno, and then we started pushing more and we started feeding Sancho more of the ball and quicker and everything, and obviously he brought the rewards. But so I think tactically he actually got it spot on last night. You know, didn't want to concede and was hoping we get a goal or two, but a 0-0 draw actually would have been still a good result. But yeah, as far as Martial's concerned, I haven't got a fucking clue why he's still at the club, let alone played last night.
So Nathan, are you?
I didn't see the game on Saturday because I was away. I listened to the first half, and then I didn't manage to listen to the second half. But from what I heard, it just obviously sounded terrible. It just sounded like, again, we just couldn't pass two balls to each other. And like I've said for a while, haven't I? Like, I didn't think it was going the way it should have done, but I'm sad, obviously, because like everyone says, we all love Ole, and I consistently said on this for months, for however long, there's nothing more I would have liked than for him to win something, but we knew it needed to be done. And I think that, like people have already said, I think the fact that it's taken this long, when the writing's been on the wall for so long, there was people of us saying it should have been done at the end of last season when, you know, we lost the final and stuff. But especially the last few, like the last month or so, it's like, why? Like, you know, we've had Villa and other clubs who are apparently smaller clubs than us being far more organised in, one, making changes when they feel they need to do it, and two, having a plan of exactly who they want to bring in. And it's just embarrassing that, like you say, it's an interim for an interim, and it's just ridiculous. It's like people... I think it was Nick who said the other day about, opposition fans, mocking us, in the stands, singing Ollie's at the wheel. But they're still laughing about how everything's being dealt with now. It's like, it's amateurish. It's sheer amateurish. And like you say, we could bring in Poch or whatever, now, or... But like you say, it's broken. It's still broken. And I do feel sorry for Ole that he's the latest victim in that. And, you know, like Ben said, when Jose went, obviously made it clear that I didn't like him as a person, so I was glad that he went. But I do feel for, even though I know he took it as far as he could and we weren't going to get to that next level with him, I do feel sorry for him that he's been treated he's been the victim of the rest of the rot that is the club, you know.
But this, it's like my heart... Coggy.
Sorry, Byron. Can I just say this about the caretaker, the interim, and then the permanent manager? I actually haven't got any issues with that, and I'm probably the only United fan who hasn't. But I thought that the board thought that Ollie was going to turn this round. Hence the reason why, they kept him on. I think Watford then proved that he wasn't able to turn it round. So what do you do with a game 2 days later? You can't magic somebody to come into the club and manage the team. So I think they did right, whether the character's the right person or whether it should be in Fletcher, I think they did right by keeping it within the club. And I've got no issues with it being an interim till the end of the season if we get the right person in the summer. Now, I know we can easily say, well, look at Aston Villa, they went and got their right man. Fuck's sake, they got him from Rangers. You know, they got him from a second-rate league and a third-rate club. So there's no wonder he'll jump to the Premier League. Pochettino's completely different. So, he probably still thinks he has a chance of winning the Champions League with the club he's at. So it could well be that it might take until the summer to get Pochettino or whoever they think is the right person. So I've got no issues with us doing that. I'd rather us do it that way than jumping in like we did last time.
I get that, Coggy.
And after a few successful scores, give him results, give him a big contract.
But I'm a bit worried that because this isn't like United thinking, this is our A to B to C that leads us to... They're desperate for Pochettino. It's almost like if this had been 2 or 3 weeks later, we'd have Conte this week. And it's almost like, well, what do we do? We're a bit panicky because we did think it was going to be Ollie. And the fact that Richard Arnold's going to take over, the fact that this is all going to be, a commercial accountant background, non-football man, and my heart and my head always debate about United. And I don't want to feel like this. It's almost like there's Riaz who appeared on the podcast and he's been in Villarreal. Now, I've not listened to how drunk their podcast segment is. So if it was very bad, you're not hearing it. If it was all right, you're going to hear it. But he put in the group, look, lads, this is the night before the game. I'm pissed. We were arguing or talking United in the group. I don't care, gentlemen. I'm a doctor. I'm telling you, with all the love in the world, let it go. We're fucked. As long as these Glazers own us, we're fucked. Let it go. Let it go. And I just felt like that was a poetry of sadness. I will think the amount of people we've been linked with today it's almost like Nick's wank bank list of every football coach who's out of a job is being listed. I have no idea of half the names being thrown around. And it's almost like Woodward's gone. He's gone, get every football person who's ever managed it in our database. Right, I've got two rants and I'm going to go on to Nick. I've got a hate of the week. It was United did training before they left for Villarreal. And they you know, they allow cameras in. And Scott McTominay actually covered his mouth in a training session as he talked to Carrick. I thought there isn't a conversation in the world that Scott McTominay and Michael Carrick should be hidden from people. And the other thing was when Nick was getting married, in the afternoon, we watched Football Focus as we were just about to get ready. Now, we just lost about to Liverpool and they were going to talk about it. And obviously, Harry Maguire was interviewed by Dean Dublin and he did a very sad face. And then halfway through, it was like a light bulb switch. Dean Dublin just says, so who's the best joker in the dressing room? Who's the DJ? And Harry Maguire. And this is what I've had a raff about Harry Maguire ever since. Maguire should have gone, look, Dean, now's not the time. Fucking turn off the camera. Instead, he's going, yeah, the best dressed player. I thought, you've just been embarrassed by Liverpool 5-0 and you're allowing this. Now, it's that petty. I am a petty United supporter. Right, hello, Nick.
Hey, you all right?
No, I'm not all right, yeah. But I can hear you.
Oh, right, but you can hear me, though.
Yeah.
I was going to try and cheer you up and I thought, no.
Go on, please.
I mean, I'll be honest, I don't really get the idea of an interim manager. I hear what you say, Cocky, and I get that, but gigs taken over from Moyes with four league games to go, that's an interim manager. That's, you know, you're seeing the season out, there's no point making a change there and then, you know, wait to see what happens. Not in November when the Champions League groups aren't decided. I just think that's a massive, massive own goal. But it does come back to the ownership that you said, though. It's one of those where, how can you sack a manager if you've not got a plan in place? And there are plenty of decent managers that have been available and that are still available. You know, whether it seems to be Valverde or whatever it is today, you know, that could be a smokescreen. You know, everyone thought it was going to be Laurent Blanc. It was odds on favourite. And then all of a sudden, you know, Ole came out of nowhere. But if it's, for example, if it's going to be Pochettino, you know, if that's eventually who the owners want, you know, I think he clearly wants the job. You know, why wouldn't he? You know, he knows he's going to be given more than enough time. He knows he's going to be backed. I still personally think the jury's out on him. I still think he's no different to Ole, really, in that regard. The fact is that, you know, he couldn't win the French league last season. He's only got the Charity Shield in France so far to his resume. You know, just because he does well with young players and plays a pressing style of football, suddenly it's a recipe to fix all our problems. It's like, as Ryan Keane would say, do me a favour. You know, I still don't think that's the answer. The concerning thing for me, I think, is that he keeps saying that we want to start building for the future, don't we? And we want to start doing that now. Why wait till the end of the season? I think that the Glazers are thinking, this is going to buy us more time. I think it's delay tactics. I think what they're doing is they're thinking, well, do you know what? If we're a bit crap between now and then, it's fine because then we can rebrand it and rehash it again as a rebuild again in the summer. You know, we're going to get this new manager and it's going to be all exciting. And I think that's bollocks. And I said on a podcast ago, why can't we scab a Champions League? It really winds me up. Chelsea are one Champions League behind us and they scabbed two of them. Liverpool scabbed one into 2005. It's like, why can't we scab a Champions League? Every time we win a Champions League, right, they're about to win the league. And it winds me up, and I just think, why do we need to settle for it? If you think that Valverde is the man, and he is the one that's there at the moment, and they think he's the person to take this interim manager or whatever it's going to be, why is he not good enough to get the job properly? He's got a good CV. You know, he did well at Barcelona. The players clearly liked him. I don't understand why he wouldn't be given a shot at doing the job properly. Why not just employ him and say, this is how it's going to be? Because, for example, if we do need to replace Wan-Bissaka and Trippier's interested, we're not going to prize him away with an interim manager. Ole got no funds, did he, the other year? And the whole process for it just thinks to me, it's just really, really, really worrying. What I will say, though, about last night, you mentioned about Martial, and I was thinking the only reason why I think that Carrick probably could have played him is because the second half against Watford, the way it started before the red card, was better, miles better than what the first half was. And he's thinking, well, I'm just going to put him in there because he was on the team. You know, that's the only reason why I think he could have put him in there. And it was just because he was on the pitch. But again, last night you can see with the squad rotation, as we said after Watford, you know, the three best players were Matic, Sancho and Van de Beek, the players that are on the periphery of the squad, They know they've got a competition. They know we've got a reason to prove, and their place isn't guaranteed. And it's no coincidence that they were three of the better players and the fresher as well. And you go back to Shaw, it's like you sign Tellers and you get the best ever season out of him. And it's that competition. You need to play the rotation. And fair play to Carrick last night, because Bruno's got a good record in the Champions League for assisting. To stick him on the bench took absolute bollocks. And I'll give him credit for that, because, and I say the same with Rashford, it's like, I said this about Pogba for weeks, 2 weeks on this podcast, is you've got to bring them off the bench. It's like Pogba's an impact player, Marcus Rashford is an impact player, Bruno Fernandes can be an impact player. And sometimes you can keep it tight and put them on off the bench. And then to get the delivery of what we got last night, I just thought, you see a tiring team and you see Rashford coming at you. You wouldn't want that as a fullback or as a defender. You'd be thinking, shit, I don't want him running at me after 70 minutes on the pitch. So that's why, to me, it made sense. And I wouldn't be surprised to see Carrick do something similar again on Sunday. I'm hoping that he would do, but he probably takes Martial out. Maybe Shaw comes in if he's not got a concussion or something. But I still thought the performance last night was good. Massively pleased for Sancho. I think this is the start of something kicking on. A fair play for Nathan for saying he was going to get his first goal last night before it kicked off. So, you know, if you want a positive, things can only get better with Jadon Sancho.
I don't think that song is ever going to take off, Nick.
That, Nick, as well. I mean, I only watched it on Saturday on Match of the Day, but the only positive I could take out of Saturday's game was it was a brilliant cross he put in for that goal. So he's had a good
man.
I've got the assist, but he basically made that goal on Saturday and then scored last night. So that's a couple of positive performances for him.
I don't think
right hand side of midfield though. That's where we signed him for. We blatantly need someone who can cross the ball. It just makes complete sense. Play him out there. Fair enough if you want to switch him over and change it up and put him on the left for 10 minutes, 15 minutes to switch
backs
or whatever. I'm not asked about that.
Nick, that's,
Correct, we need someone on that side where it gives us some.
That's what Ollie wasn't doing.
Liverpool have been so good for the last couple of years. They've got natural width with two great fullbacks that bomb forward and put them in crosses into the box.
But,
and we don't have that.
But
especially with Wan-Bissaka on that side. We've got no threat. And every time we've got the ball over the last couple of years, everything has come down the left. It's either come through Martial, it's come through Rashford cutting in. It's boring and it's predictable.
Nick.
So if he can give us some sort of, I don't know, dimension on the right, then why can't we take that as a way as an encouragement?
No,
point?
I do. There is
that's,
there,
that's a positive.
No, but there is encouragement. And I will say, we saw a little bit of what you've been saying about him, and Ollie was not playing him on the right, and that's a major fault Ollie was making, you know, some. But the heart on the head is, I do think, you know, the squad is much better than what we saw that at the start of the season. But I have now major doubts about Wan-Bissaka. I have major doubts about Maguire long term, the leadership in the team. That, God, it's not beyond the realms of possibility, but I'm being drummed in my head. And I will say, in this argument about match going and e-reds, I mean, we were there Saturday. Thank God we were there, because we actually had a nice night, didn't we? So thank fuck for actually being there, so we could, next to each other, drown our sorrows and then have a laugh. Right, so I did have... Oh, fuck knows. Go on, Ben, take it away.
Can I just say something? And Andy, who's the Red News stats man, he'll laugh at this, because I've been looking at some stats, and I'm not, you know, as you know, I totally ignore stats, but just going about Fred, and, you know, because, you know, people saying Fred had a decent game last night, I think he was all right. His pass completion is 84%. Okay, so, right. His tackle success, and we think that's his strength, is 43%. And if you just want to compare him with Declan Rice, pass completion 92%, tackle success rate 67%. And people are saying Declan Rice isn't this and isn't that. And I think, and I've gone through Rodri, Kante, Fabinho, Henderson even, Ndidi, and they're all infinitely better, both pass rate and success in tackles than Fred. Oh. And it doesn't matter what we do around the pitch, until we get that area sorted out.
I'm amazed it's that high, Coggy. 80% for Fred. Fucking hell, I thought we'd be in the low teens.
But now I'm going to tell you why stats are a load of shit.
Yeah.
Because Wan-Bissaka has got a pass rate of 84%, whilst Trent Alexander-Arnold has got 82%.
Yeah, but you know what? That is because Wan-Bissaka just passes it to Maguire.
A tackle success rate of 93%. compared to 57% of Trent Alexander-Arnold. So, you know, in fairness, stats are a fucking waste of time. But anyway.
I will say there's two things. And then the Pochettino, I have a worry because he went and ate with fucking Salt B the other week. And he poured some salt over his steak and the waiters all clapped. And I just like, Pochettino, you've gone down in my estimation. The second thing is I did text and then deleted my final conversation one way with Ollie. My final text Saturday night, very drunk in Watford. I just went, you've done this with a decency that we are so grateful with. You've always done it, came across, you know, and I feel so sorry for you. And then I just left it at that. And then I said that to Nick, and Nick went, I wish I could have text message conversations with Ollie. We'd set up a ranch together, and what was it? Go cattle breeding.
We'd sit and watch videos if you were sitting and drink Balbec. It'd be great. What a life.
Yeah, but it's only a conversation if he replies.
I know.
It's just a man.
But he's not going to reply now because he's just going to go. He's just going to go. This fucker only ever contacts.
Yeah.
No, but this fucker only ever contacts me when we're really losing bad matches.
There was a bit of excitement for Nick after Ali got sacked because the rumours were that Fletcher was taking over. So you were on a bit of a high, weren't you, Nick?
Well, I was, and then I realised I thought, well, the Glazers are going to hang him out to dry as well, and then I quickly sort of calmed down, so I'm kind of glad that he's not done that, because then he's not tarnished any potential reputation if he does become technical director or whatever he's going to do or whatever he's doing. I'm still not sure. I do have a hate of the week, though, Barney, which I was quite keen on sharing with you, which has really annoyed me at the moment. Have you noticed that Manchester, well, you wouldn't have seen too much recently, would you? But Manchester's getting so busy at the moment, it's driving mad. And obviously, the markets aren't helping as well. Really, really annoying me. Do you know what really annoys me? It's people who clearly aren't meant to be or capable of being in a city centre. It's like, you know, the people that like wait in shop doorways, you know, they're constantly on Google Maps and they're looking at the phones to try to figure out where things are. You know, and when you're walking with a purpose and you're on a lunch break and you've got to walk around them at pace or move them out of the way, you're the one that comes across as an idiot. Don't stand in the doorway at Cafe Nero when I need a flat light. Don't sit there looking around thinking, oh, where do I need to go away from that? Bam, that's where you need to just move out of the way. I'm angry. I want a coffee. I've got an hour to get shit done.
I'll tell you what, I've got a tip for you, Nick. You should use your subscription at Pret and get your coffee there instead, shouldn't you?
Yeah, I was going to say, Cafe Nero.
What happened to the Pret subscription and your wallet?
Yeah, two-timer.
Well, on a Tuesday and a Wednesday, I get a free Cafe Nero, so...
don't we all?
I'm a bit of a two-timer in that regard.
Apropos of nothing, Arnold Murren was a...
Don't you like Wolves as well?
Oh, God, please, not deja vu again. Please, please.
He's got one soccer team, one American football team. Please. Is that right, Nick?
Right, apropos of nothing, Arnold Murren...
I thought you were referring to West Indies Charlton then at first. Or...
Arnold Murren was a great player. I was just looking at a goal of his the other day and I thought, what a great play he was for us. Now, I'm just going to say what I want United to do and then I'm going to go back to you lot. Last thing, people, sorry to beat this drum, but we've got a new mag out next week. Please support it. If you're not going to come to the game, it's a bit odd because some of the sellers are away. It's a bit disjointed midweek games. So please order it. And also with 3 weeks to the charity walk, we're going to do a Christmas, probably a pissed up one for it. So please support the appeal as well. But what I want, and then I'm going to go to you all with your hates of the week, and also if you're, because I'm not feeling positive, I feel like massively kicked down in the gutter. But that doesn't mean you lot aren't. But Bill Inglis, who was connected with United for 31 years, and he was a reserve coach amongst other things at United. And what I want United to do, what I want them to have a structure is, obviously Sir Matt was unique, but he said he took the reserves with 6 or 7 internationals on duty because the first team weren't playing. And they played a third division side and they were 1-0 down at half time. And he said, I went into the dressing room and I said, I've got nothing else to say, but the boss will be upset when he sees that half time score. And I said, no more. We won 8-1 by the second half. You see, the team didn't label, labelling the team or, you know, whatever didn't matter at all. These players were all Manchester United players and they could not let Sir Matt Busby or the club down. And I want that Manchester United back. We might not win things with it, but even in the 80s, they gave a shit. They tried and they fucking tried their hardest. And that's what I want. So, Nathan, Ben Coggy, where are you in all this?
I'm not as doom laden perhaps as you are, Barney. I mean, I think I said at the start of the season, and I don't need Coggy stats to tell me that Fred's not good enough, or McTominay for that matter. So we know that centre midfield is an issue, but I do believe that there is a nucleus of a decent squad there with the right manager in charge. I'm not saying it wins the league this season or next season, whatever, but I do think with the right manager in charge, we should have a chance of competing. I'm not as down on some of these. Wan-Bissaka, yeah, I still think he's low on confidence. When he's on his game, he's good defensively. I think long term, he's not improved enough going forward. So I think we do need a right back. I think Maguire has been in dreadful form recently, but I still think I've seen enough over the 2 years he's been here, plus playing for England, that there is a decent player in there. I think he needs a bit of support now. He probably should have the captaincy taken off him. I'm interested to see how he does playing alongside Varane, if they get a run together, having a better player alongside him. But, you know, if you go back to, like, 1989, how bad did Gary Pallister look for a number of months? And look, you know, he ended up all right. That might be the level Maguire's at. Pallister was a really good player. I don't think Maguire's ever going to be a Stam or a Ferdinand or a Vidic, but I think he could be, you know, a Pallister or Bruce if he gets his confidence back and has a better player alongside him. Sure, I don't know. I mean, if he can get to the levels he was playing for England, I think there's a good player there as well. And I think, you know, up front, there's a lot of, you know, there's a lot of exciting players, as Nick's already alluded to, or not alluded to, as said, if we can get Sancho firing off the right, that's really exciting. So I think there are, you know, for me, there are reasons to be positive, but it all depends on getting that next appointment right, whether that's the interim or not. And that's where I would probably share your pessimism that, you know, they've got it wrong four times now. Ed Woodward is suggesting that he's going to stay to help out with this, having got it wrong four times
already.
Don't
get me started.
So you with confidence. So we'll just have to see. But I think if they can get the right manager, for me, I said to you the other day, I like the look of Ten Hag at Ajax. I have always been a fan of Pochettino, so I wouldn't be unhappy. But I think Ten Hag, what he's done there, that is an exciting team that's got a kind of, you know, people talk about a philosophy, a way of playing, whatever. You know, and I think he would come into the Premier League hungry. He's done it in the Champions League, but, you know, to prove himself in the Premier League, for me, that would be the one. And maybe if we could get him in the summer. My worry is that if we go down the route of anybody on an interim, that we end up in a similar situation that we did with Oli, that if they start doing well, there's a clamour to appoint them, and then you kind of get your judgment's clouded, isn't it? And you don't end up with a person that you really should. So just one thing I wanted to say on the, you talked about the players in the 80s. And I just wonder if people are kind of looking through this through tinted glasses. I've heard a few people say this in the last week. And, I mean, I'm only 40, only. So I didn't, you know, I can't remember the 80s as such. But I do remember my dad saying that he really fell out of love with it in the early 80s, having been a Tommy Dock home and away in the 70s in the second division. He said there was a period in the early 80s, I think it was probably under Sexton, where the players didn't give a shit. And he said he remembered one player, and I won't name names because I may have it wrong, but coming over to the side of the pitch, asking for the result of a horse race at Kempton or somewhere while the game was going on. And he said that was indicative of the attitude of the players at that point in the 80s. So I do think
Well, I'm better
than this idea that you know, this is the first group of United players who haven't given 100%.
No, of course.
A bit untrue, to be honest.
But and they did for Atkinson at the end, but Sexton finished in May 80.
Mick Channon tells a story he owned a horse, and halfway through the game, Southampton, I think, were playing at, wherever he was playing for, were playing at Spurs. Before the game, he'd said to Brian Moore, who's the commentator, "Let me know how my horse gets on during the game." So I think that story that your dad's told or that you've read is probably indicative of that era.
Yeah, and I know.
I get that, but obviously, if the team is struggling at the time, and there's, you know, that's not what you want to be hearing as a fan. That they're more interested in what's going on at in the horse race.
And I get that, Ben. Yeah. They did that under Atkins.
I just think there's a little bit of maybe rose-tinted glasses about it. At least the players always tried in the past. I'm not sure that's necessarily true. What? Even under Busby, and you know, there were periods of time, weren't there, when you know that I'm not sure the players were pulling out all the stops.
They weren't under Atkinson's final days, but they were worse players. You know, maybe it's the baggage that goes with these lot that I'm just so... And don't... our attacking side, like I watched that last night, there is optimism when Cavani comes back, God, when Varane gets back, but our attacking unit is as good as anyone's. I just have major, 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 major now pessimism about the midfield and defence. That's it. Coggy, sorry. Ben, before we go to everyone else, what was your Ollie highlight? Because me, Chelsea in the Cup, loved that night.
My Ollie highlight? Probably the first game, to be honest. I was lucky enough to be at Cardiff when he came back. And the buzz that day was absolutely brilliant. And, you know, at that stage, we didn't know how long he was going to be in charge. But just, it was like, the doom had been lifted, or a cloud had been lifted after Mourinho. And that, you know, that was a brilliant day. And I was chatting to the lads I went with. Obviously, the other day, we were looking at pictures and videos from it. And, you know, we said, we'll always have Cardiff. And obviously, for those that were in Paris, they'll always have Paris. I wasn't there in Paris, so I'd have to say that first game in Cardiff.
Coggy?
I don't share Ben's optimism about the defence. I don't think it's as good as what he believes. I don't think Wan-Bissaka's good enough. I don't think Shaw's good enough, and I don't think Maguire's good enough. I think Varane's obviously a Rolls Royce. So I think we need to sort that out. As soon as possible. But obviously that's going to be a 2-year job to actually do. Midfield, we've spoken about the midfield, we all agree on that. But I think going forward, you know, we are exciting. I'm glad Sancho looked a lot better yesterday than he has done. I'm glad he scored, and I'm expecting good things from him, basically, you know, because of what Ben, what Nick said, he was like, in Germany. Oh, can I just say that fair play to all you lads after the Man City game that went on the podcast. I thought you all spoke very, very well. And Viv was on there. Now, is Viv really related to Nick? I mean, she's attractive, she's intelligent, she's articulate, she knows about football. Are they actually fucking related? The apple doesn't fall far from the tree, can I get that said?
a new stepdad there, Nick, if you're not careful.
Jesus Christ. and my, for me, PSG, Paris, for my greatest Ollie moments. I mean, it was that was a great night. It was superb.
Nathan?
In terms of who I think we should do, I think, like Ben said, like Ten Hag would be, sounds exciting. Like it's whether the club are willing to make that system change in terms of, like, you know, like Ben said about them having an identity and stuff, and it's like, well, that's what Ajax do, isn't it? And like, I'd love us to be able to create our own identity again, because we don't have that. Like, it's lost because, one, it's lost because those at the top aren't bothered about it, and then it's impossible to develop one when you're swapping and changing from that, when there's no plan in terms of manager and there's no cohesion in terms, like, we'll get one and then we'll switch to another and it's totally different. Look, I'd love us to just go back to basics and just go, right, we need to start again now, and we've got some players that are very good, and if we bring in someone like Ten Hag, he's like, right, this is how we want to play, and we've got players who can't play like that, then we fuck them off and we get players who can. You know, that's what the top teams do, and it might take time. You know, it took Pep a season or so to get that identity going at City. It took Klopp time, you know, to get these things in. That's what we need to do. And it's like, we've just been signing players. Like, we've made some good signings. Obviously, we needed Sancho, like, for that side, and, you know, we needed Varane. but we're not making signings that other signings that we need, like the defensive mid, which we're also making signings that are popular signings and that aren't necessarily all going to work together. And we'll see. I think one thing that I have thought that I don't like is, I don't know whether I'm just thinking too much into it, and I was thinking about Poch, and I was like, the one place where he's properly done well, like, and he's been for the longest amount of time, is when he was at Spurs. And it's like, that's under Levy, who we all know is a dick. And it's like, did he do well there and last as long as he did? Yes, he did well, but because he wasn't challenging Levy. And is that why the Glazers like him? Because they think he might be a soft touch in terms of, you know, what he wants and stuff. Like, that season that they did the best was the season that he spent no money at all because he couldn't. And it's just like, I just hope that they want him for the right reasons because of the football and not because they think, here's someone that's not going to be pressuring us to sign people and stuff. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah,
no. I don't know if that's me looking into it too much, but I just think...
Well, that's my mindset.
And the Glazers are very much the similar sort of stubborn in terms of what they want to do. And, you know, I don't know. Maybe I'm literally just being too conspiracy in this. But
no, but my mindset is so wary of the Glazers. What's your highlight, Nathan, of the 3 years?
Like we say, it's an odd one, isn't it? Because it'd have to be the Paris game. And I think... I wasn't there, but I can't remember if I said I was on one of my travels, and I was in Kosovo watching it, and I was in a bar just on my own, and like the rest of the place wanted PSG to win, and like when we won that game, and I was just going mental, just surrounded by people like, who the fuck is this guy? And like the people, like at the end of the game, people coming over shaking my hand and stuff, and it was just brilliant.
That could have gone another way for you, Nathan.
It's got to be that, hasn't it?
So, that could have gone another way for you, and you end up in one of those Danny Dyer fucking part four TV series. Nick, this has gone longer than we thought. Nick?
My only highlight has just been looking at him every single match day. Just seeing him, just so I could just see him. I agree with Ben. I mean, Cardiff was great. That night was great. I mean, me and Nathan were at Anfield the week before for Jose's last game, and, you know, the mood very quickly after, 15 minutes into that game was just dire. You know, it was flat. United fans were just sat there just sort of questioning what the fuck was going on. And then to see a week later, the following Saturday, was just bouncing in Cardiff, and that day was just absolutely electric. They were beaten before the game even played, and that's how, to me, that's what United should part symbolise as well, is that you play these inferior teams and they should feel beaten in the tunnel before a ball is kicked. And that's exactly what that day felt like. They didn't have a prayer at all. From the moment that Rashford scored that free kick after about 2 minutes or whatever it was, when he rifled that in, you just thought, we're going to do these today, and we did, and we were brilliant. So that's definitely up there as well. But there was a couple in there, but this is the thing. It's like, I don't want to be one of these football clubs that starts living off moments. It's like, we need a little bit more than that, don't we? But Cardiff was great.
So, well, no, I wish he'd won.
No one could take that away from me.
I wish he'd, you know, we all said it. And we all said, because we obviously feared, you know, I think we all knew in the back of our heads, that's why we've been saying it for a long time, I wish he'd won Gdansk, because they would have never have taken that away from him then. And we might have ended up at this point anyway, but it was such a significant moment. And if Ollie had won a trophy, we'd have been so happy. Roma. Yeah.
I would have said that with Roma as well in the semi-final. That was probably up there, because it was that point where he was starting to prove, potentially doubt was wrong, maybe, is the fact that he didn't, you know, shirk that semi-final thing off his back, and he got through to a final. And I'll be honest, I said it to absolutely nobody, but I was adamant deep down inside we were going to win that final. I just was just so sure that it was meant to be, that we were going to win it. I convinced myself. I didn't want to jinx it out loud. But so that Roma game is well up there as well, you know, to batter them at home, and then, you know, all right, the away game or something. But the home performance for that second half to come out and annihilate them, that was up there. It's just a shame, obviously, there was no fans to see that, because that night would have been special.
But
There were some good performances on that run, to be fair. I mean, there was a bit of a narrative going around that we'd beat no one to get to the final, but Roma were half decent and we battered them at home. Who else was it? Sociedad, who were doing well in the league at the time. I thought we played some good football on that run. AC Milan, yeah. So, you know, that it was an enjoyable run to the final. Obviously, none of us were at any of the games, but it was a bit of a break to the monotony, wasn't it? And I enjoyed that run to the final, but the final itself was just so disappointing in the end, wasn't it? I mean, we watched it together, and there was no nerves, really, before. I think we might not have been saying it on that, but I think we all just thought we had to turn up and win that game. And it's a shame, because, like you say, he would have always had that on his record then, wouldn't it? That he'd won a trophy as a Man United manager. Yeah. I think that would have been nice, but...
This is maybe for the next one, you know, like, I'm a hypocrite. Yes, you all know that. But it's like, I said I wouldn't feel like this when we were back at games, and I've mentioned it a couple of times, and then to feel like United are doing this when we're free to go, and it's complicated, isn't it? It's this fucking addiction. As I say, and then me and Nick, you know, and a few of us were in the pub with Albert, and it was like, special because it was his first game, and also, you know, you can't then spend the next 8 hours feeling, you know, utter morose. So the bond that we all have, anyway, we've got Wardy's funeral on Friday, and to the regiment, because it meant a lot, and just he's in our thoughts, he's in everyone's thoughts. Has anyone got any else to add? Well, we're done. No, all right, sorry people. Onwards and upwards, and to all of us, really, keep it going. All right, take care, everyone. Thanks, lads. Thank you.
Cheers, lads.